Oh man, so we are live, man. YouTube, live. Facebook, Twitter. Welcome to the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. For tonight, we got the Back Row Redskins show. I don't know what episode we on, but it's going to be a fun show. Tonight, we're talking Jonathan Allen contract. We're talking Logan Thomas. We're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're talking Deshaun Watson, Davante Adams, and the whole nine. It's going to be a fun show. Might be a little bit of debating on the show. So it's going to be great. So let's kick this thing off. First of all, I got a big announcement, special announcement for the YouTube family. I've shared with, you know, the Facebook and the Twitter family, but your boy is now monetized on YouTube. It was a big deal for me, man. I appreciate the Washington football fans because you guys are the ones that helped me get to this goal quicker. You know, I started the page to do multiple sports, multiple different things. But it's like whenever I post Washington football content, the Washington football fans always come in big for us. We're also going to talk a little bit of training camp today, but let's go ahead and kick this thing off with the Jonathan Allen contract. So when you saw the contract, man, what was your reaction? Like, how did you take it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Talk to me.
I mean, I was elated, bro. You know what I mean? John Allen, I mean, it begins in the front four, bro. Like, at the end of the day, and we got five or six deep right now that can play. At the end of the day, John Allen is one of the first guys, right, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was picked. So, I mean, we're going to take care of him. The only thing that I'm worried about is the depth would settle at the end of this year. Might be a casualty, but could be – D tackles, can we pick them up in free agency, or can we do something? You know what I'm saying? Right. But at the end of the day, I think John Allen is the key. And then we got Payne next, and then we got, I think, Sweat, and then Young.
Right.
I think that we have everything that we need to put in a row for us to get all those guys set. Because, I mean, look at the Super Bowl teams. A lot of those guys up front were tenacious and they were crazy. So at the end of the day, I think that's a good signing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely. So, man, for me, man, when I saw the Jonathan Allen contract, man, I was excited because when you look at the details of the contract, man, it was a four-year, $72 million extension. And when you factor that in with the money that he's getting paid right now, it's an excellent contract. I think it's about $16 million a year, around there, a little bit over $16 million a year. So that's pretty good money. I mean, he's ranked in the top 10 in terms of getting paid, but a couple years from now, when other D tackles start getting paid, it's going to reset 20, the market.
23, so 24. I mean, but he's actually closer to like 18, maybe 18.5 with the incentives and everything, but that's still
right.
Still, isn't Khalil Mack getting paid like 22 right now, right?
Or something crazy. 23? Like, something crazy. Like, with. Yeah, like when Matt got paid, everybody was saying, oh, my gosh, it's the most whatever. And then, you know, guys like Myles Garrett, you know what I'm saying? So it's like every year the money goes up. Like a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, he gets paid $27 million a year, and I didn't know that. Terry McLaurin, he's going to be due like soon, but by the time we pay Terry,
27, you know? That's a lot for a wide receiver, dude.
Like, yeah, and it's a big gap. It's a big gap from Hopkins to the next guy. Huge, huge, major gap, man. So
who's the next guy after that? Because, you know, Devontae going to have to get paid again, right?
But that's why Davante Adams wants $30 million a year. And which kind of brings me to my next topic. Hey, what up, T-Ho, man? Welcome to the stream, my brother. So which brings me to my next topic. Everybody wants Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams to come to DC, but that's going to be expensive. If you bring in, you can understand bringing in a Aaron Rodgers and saying, you know what, goodbye, settle, goodbye, possibly Payne, but Payne is still in contract. The great thing about the contract for Allen is that it keeps that D line together for the next 2 years. But bringing in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, look, it's going to cost some money. That's going to mean that you can't re-sign a lot of people. You see what I'm saying? Bringing in a guy like Davante Adams, you can just forget about it. You bring in a Davante Adams, man, look, the cap is finished. That's it. you know, you're going to have to fifth year. I mean, you can't even fifth year Terry. You're going to have to franchise tag Terry when it's time to pay him, because Devontae is not coming for no, you know what I'm saying, $30 million a year for like a three-year contract. He's going to want a lucrative contract that's, you know, almost fully guaranteed and all these incentives and things of that nature. But that's the cost of bringing in a Aaron Rodgers. When you bring him in, he's a diva type quarterback. And we've been seeing all the drama that you know, but he's a very good, talented guy. I mean, you get an Aaron Rodgers and not lose anything, that puts his team into the Super Bowl. So yeah, you're going to have to determine, okay, do you bring in an Aaron Rodgers for, like, let's say, 3 years? That means you can't re-sign certain guys, including a Daron Payne, when it's time. So just all depends, you know. Obviously, the front office can get creative, but what is your take on a possible Aaron Rodgers or Davante Adams coming to D.C.?
I say, personally, man, how can I put this? Yeah, for you cherish the championships like Redskins sweater and every Redskin fan that I know here in Arizona and all across the globe, every time I talk to them, we value the championships, right? So right. At some point, we have to sacrifice these things. So are we not signing our corners? Are we not signing our safeties, our D-line? Are we trading our D-line to get subpar production with that front line? And then we have the corners. Are they able to – at the end of the day, I want Aaron Rodgers. I do. But it's going to cost us a lot of money. And Ron, you know how Ron is. Ron is right to the tooth of everything. So at the end of the day, I think we should go after him, because I mean, Fitz and Heineke, Allen and Montez, I mean, if we want to win now, I mean, if we want to win now and we got the pieces, like we really got the pieces all around, we can sacrifice a few things just to get maybe some draft picks so we can replace those guys on the next draft. But if we are cherishing the championships now, and this is a win now, and this is like, what have you done for me lately, league? So,
right.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think we should go ahead and pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a chance to gain an Aaron Rodgers without trading for him, it's a no-brainer to go ahead and get him, okay? T-Ho has some comments. The first one, he says, are we going after Deshaun Watson, or is he too expensive? That's actually the next topic. But
good transition right there.
Yeah, great transition. Really? When it comes to Deshaun Watson, man, like with me, like Aaron Rodgers, if he becomes a free agent, you gotta go and get an Aaron Rodgers, even if it's a short term deal. You know, maybe a year to year deal. You know, like in basketball, you do like a little 1 year deal, 1 year opt out kind of thing, one and one. Right. You bring him in on a 2 year deal. You make that next year flexible. I mean, because at this point in Aaron Rodgers' career, he wants to win titles. He wants to go to the best possible place where he can bring some veterans at a discounted price. We've seen it with Tom Brady. It worked out. They had a great defense, you know, and had a weapon. Just imagine if we had a Davante Adams on one side and a Terry on the other side. You know, but that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Low-key, we got Terry got route running too, though. Wait till he get up there, though. But hey, you put Terry, him with Devontae.
Hey, Terry's a beast, man.
Is crazy. Like,
Terry's a beast.
Are crazy.
Yeah, so those are just some of the possibilities. And as free agency heats up, after the season, free agency heats up, you're going to be hearing a lot of Aaron Rodgers to D.C., Aaron Rodgers to D.C. So I don't see a Deshaun Watson type move, because it's going to be too expensive, you know, to trade for a Watson. I'm not for that. You're giving up too much. It's not like he's a free agent. It's not like you're giving up like three first round picks and that's it. The Texans want three first round picks. They want two defensive starters. I mean, and then no. They said three first round picks, a possible two second round picks, and two defensive starters. It's too much. And then with Deshaun Watson and that whole culture thing, I don't think he fits into what Ron Rivera likes to do. T-Ho says, Ryan is bonding with the players, and he's happy to be in Washington. Yes, I'm excited to have Ryan Fitzpatrick. What's your take on Ryan Fitzpatrick, man? What is your expectations?
You know what? I kind of low-key think that Ryan's going to be able to do some really good things if he just doesn't overdo himself, you know, like right. he always done. You know, he's a gunslinger and likes to throw down the field. At the end of the day, you got a good run game, I think. If we can get one more back, I think.
Right.
That Patterson kid, I think, would be a really good complement to Gibson. You know, like some Gibson. Lightning and Thunder type, you know, type feel mm-hmm. or whatever. Logan Thomas, you know, I mean, I think he stepped up. I think he got an opportunity and he maximized himself and he got a contract, you know, out of that. I think Ryan's going to be able to, with those fast wide receivers, I mean, even Sims and Humphrey, I mean, those are probably going to be his, like, safety valves at the end of the day because those drags, those crossers, you know, they're going to be able to smoke those guys, you know.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Ryan got to be able to throw that ball, you know. So, and he's known to throw an INT, so, you know.
Absolutely, man. Look, I am on the Ryan Fitzpatrick train. I've been on the Ryan Fitzpatrick train. You can ask the Sanchez from the Warpath on the Warpath. Like he cannot stand Fitzpatrick. But a little update from training camp today. There was a connection between Terry McLaurin and Fitzpatrick. I mean, Fitzpatrick was able to throw the ball deep numerous times. And that's something we have not seen in the past 2 years with the quarterbacks that we've had. Terry is a guy that has enough speed to go deep. Yes, he runs crispy routes. Yes, we know who Terry McLaurin is. But at the same time, Terry can do so much. See what I'm saying? So a lot of people always say, oh, Terry this, Terry that. Terry is legit, man. Terry is legit. And he's definitely going to be one of the top tier wide receivers, especially like in the next couple of years. I have Terry for over 95 receptions, 1,400 yards, and about 7 touchdowns. Those are my predictions. And I just see this guy force feeding him the ball. That's one thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick does is he makes sure that his wide receiver ones are happy. So if anybody is going to be happy this year, it's going to be Terry. I mean, he's excited.
Have you done the stats for all of his wide receivers? It seems like the number one wide receiver always, like you just said, gets force feed. DeVante Parker, right, was getting crazy.
Yes, oh, man.
Crazy feet.
He got him paid.
Like crazy feet. And, I mean, right. I think that the route tree on McLaurin is a little bit better than
way better. It's not even like close. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick took DeVante Parker, who was struggling for 3-4 years, and made him look legit. You know what I'm saying? So having a Terry, a guy that can run routes, and a lot of times Terry was open last year, but the quarterback just could not get him the ball. This year is gonna be totally different. Like throwing a ball is not a problem that Ryan Fitzpatrick has. It's taking care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can make all the throws. And one thing that I can say today about camp with Ryan Fitzpatrick was he was able to connect with the guys like Humphreys, you know, all these different slot guys, right? Then he was able to, you know what I'm saying, connect with the deep guys like Dyami Brown. Terry can go deep. You know, you're going to have guys like Logan Thomas. J.D. McKissic, I really don't know how Ryan Fitzpatrick meshes with running backs coming out the backfield. But one thing that I can say is that he's going to spread the ball. He's going to spread the ball. Multiple guys are going to eat. And speaking of Logan Thomas got paid. You know what I'm saying? It was a 3-year, $24 million extension. And $10 million of that was guaranteed. So what this really means is that the Washington football team can opt out of Logan Thomas's contract at the end of 2022 if they say, you know what, we want to go younger or it's just not working out. So it's a friendly deal, and that makes Logan Thomas the 8th highest paid tight end in the NFL. How do you feel about this?
I feel great, man, actually, because he does everything. I mean, he blocks. That's most importantly. I mean, to begin to catch the ball, you got to be able to run the ball too. So at the end of the day, I mean, he does a very good job of blocking, and his blocking release is really good. His routes are actually pretty dope too. I mean, he's a former QB, so he knows the depth. Like, he knows where those little holes are in the defense. So it's good to have a QB that's on the line, not just a left tackle or right tackle or a center that can point out everything. But you got a tight end now that was a QB that pretty much knows everything on the field. So
right.
And then if he can get open, I mean that's right. That's a blessing. I mean,
right.
I think the Redskins are really building a really good team this year, man, and it's really good to see it come to what's the word I'm looking for? Fruition.
Fruition. Yeah.
Yes. Like, it's really good to see them doing their thing, and from the top of the bottom. I know we got the guy out and we got his wife in and he's helping out, you know. But at the end of the day, I mean, like it's Ron's team, and I mean, like, he's really building some good things. Also, I've been hearing some really good things about that what's that guy's name? Samus Reyes.
Samus Reyes, yeah.
And he made a catch today. Love that guy.
Hey, he made a catch today. I mean, there's speculations that if we, like, we're not gonna cut John Bates. Like, okay, we're gonna keep three tight ends. That's for sure. Three tight ends, possibly four. So the way that I see the tight end room shaking out is obviously Logan Thomas is the tight end one. They chose him to be here. He chose to be here as well. And that solidifies that they don't necessarily have to go for a tight end one, because Logan Thomas should have been a Pro Bowler last year over a guy like Evan Engram. Now, what this says is you have Logan Thomas. You have John Bates that we drafted in the fourth or fifth round. I can't even remember right now. And then you have Samus Reyes, but then you also have other veterans that they're trying to bring in to be a possible tight end two or three. So it's possible that Samus Reyes possibly goes to the practice squad, but if the rules remain the same like last season, you can protect Samus Reyes like every single week, because you can keep – I mean, you can protect – I don't know the number. Was it five guys that, you know – folks were protecting like their fourth quarterback just in case of COVID and things of that nature. So
absolutely, if the rules and remain the same, because of the 18 games, right? Or
yeah,
is it 18 games now? I think that you get to get a couple extra guys too, though. So that might be a little key too.
Hey, yeah, that'd be dope. I mean, if they're definitely extending the roster from 52 to 54, I mean, he's almost hot, because they love what he can bring to the table, and they really do not want to lose him. T-Ho says, I hope that Ryan do a flea flicker to Logan Thomas and pass it deep to Cam Sims like last year. Yeah, I mean,
that'd be dope.
You're going to see Logan Thomas like in several different positions, position flex. You're going to see Logan Thomas throw passes this year. You're going to see him in a Wildcat. You're going to see him running routes. And the great thing about Logan Thomas is that we scheme him open. In that Air Coryell offense, it's an offense that is built for tight ends across the middle. So he's not the fastest, but guess what? If he's available and Terry and guys like Curtis Samuels and the rest are taking all these different corners and, you know, defensive eyes with them, you got Logan Thomas down the middle. You got J.D. McKissick out the seam, out the backfield. Mm-hmm. You got Antonio Gibson, who's expected to catch more passes this year. So you're going to see a lot of different things that we can do. Oh, yeah, Ricky Seals Jr. is that other tight end that I think makes the roster. I think that Ricky Seals Jr. starts the year as the tight end, too. I can be totally wrong, but that's just kind of how I see it moving forward. Now,
do you mind if I interject for one second?
Yeah,
I
want to add absolutely something. Absolutely.
I think, because you said something about four tight ends, I would keep four tight ends, because that halfback, you need to have a tight end that can block.
Right.
I don't like fullbacks at all, but if I can have a tight end that can block, and then
that's
he can
John
like
Bates.
Release out like, and then he can like go out to the side, and we can dump off and just get 2-3 yards. It's a run play at the end of the day.
Absolutely,
we need to keep somebody in the tight end role that can play the fullback position, that can get out and catch some passes, because people are going to blitz now because they see Ryan Fitzpatrick back there. If he can check and release. You hit him up, man.
Yep.
Hey, he might take it for a tug. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Hey, and that's going to be John Bates. And then also, think about this. Samuel Cosmi is as athletic of a tackle as you can get. You can
he got two in college, right? Or one?
Yeah,
college.
I think it was. I just remember one. I'm not gonna quote. I just remember one that he took to the house. So okay. If you're talking about getting exotic and doing different things, you can put him there at that halfback role, and he can slip into the into the end zone for a couple of touchdowns. Over under Samuel Cosmi, 1.5 touchdowns, or let's say 0.5 touchdowns this year.
I say he gets two this year.
I
just like that Texas play that he did, like how he was on the line and he did the Patriot thing. He blocked, he checked and released, and
bro,
got up out of there.
Bro, he if caught
running,
that.
Like, if we're running the ball, bro, that's going to open up Logan Thomas. It's going to open up Sam. It's going to open up all that stuff. So, it's going to be beneficial for us to run that route. Because if we can't, then we can't do our little scheme, you know?
Yes, sir. Hey, R. Rich, man. What up, bro? Welcome to the stream, man. Appreciate you jumping in. Let me see what T-Ho said, man. T-Ho says, when was the last time we did a flea flicker? It's been a long time. We haven't had a safety since the 1980s that can dominate on D. Hey, safety? When you're talking about
– yeah, Sean Taylor.
I'm hoping he's saying a defensive safety, because if you're talking about – safety as in the position, don't disrespect Sean Taylor like that. So I hope he's talking about safety, like, you know, one of these, because he's talking about
actually position. We got that last year. Didn't we get that on Dak last year? Ryan Kerrigan.
Was that Dak? I don't know. I know we got one on Dak.
One of them years
we got Dak. Transitioning, man. So let's talk about the wide receivers in camp. And the man, this wide receiver group is just so deep, and it's sad because we're gonna lose multiple guys. And from what I'm hearing in camp today, DeAndre Carter was not only just returning punts, he was in the slot today. So if he can give you anything out that slot position and return punts, guess what? That means bye-bye to a few of the guys that are on the roster.
Yes, sir.
So when we talk wide receivers, here are my four locks. And let me know if you agree or disagree with this statement. The four locks to make the team as of right now, today, this very moment. We're still in July. I got Terry McLaurin. I have Dayami Brown. I have Cam Sims. And that fourth guy is just – Hold on, wait. I'm missing somebody.
You're missing Curtis Samuel. I know that for sure.
He's still fresh to the team. He hasn't been here long enough. He's definitely that fourth guy. The reason why Cam Sims makes it four, obviously, you know, you draft a guy really high, you have a stud, you know, Pro Bowler to be, and then you have a guy that you brought in free agency. So those are the locks. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think that there's anybody that I'm missing in the top four?
No, I think that last selection you did, Cam Sims, is going to be the glue. If he can really put it together like he did last year when he got the opportunity, I think a lot of these guys that we have on our team now are like, I love the word maximize your opportunity.
Right.
Cam put himself he got himself in position. Ron gave him an opportunity. He was catching balls. He was blocking. He was doing what he needed to do to be considered. Second year now for him to uplift himself now. I think that he's that last guy. He's gonna get open so much, dude. Like McLaurin, Samuel, God forbid, you know. I hope he doesn't get hurt with his lower, you know, stuff. But at the end of the day, you got those two guys on the outside. You got Logan that could catch everything in the middle and on outside. You got Gibson. Now you got the slot guys. Those guys are going to eat crazy.
Right.
It's going to be like the Pats almost. Because those guys were inside. They were getting 5-yard passes.
Right.
Turning those into touchdowns or turning those into 30, 40, 50 yard gains. I mean, I just think that we have the offense to do that, but as soon as we get there, we got to be able to, you know, do the do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also, speaking of injury, like you're talking about Curtis Samuel being healthy.
Yeah.
Look, this dude didn't practice last month, the month before that. We are in July, and he's starting out the camp on the PUP list. Look, I'm worried, man, because I know they're trying to get this guy to be as healthy as possible to go ahead and head into the season and, you know, do all this. But look, to be honest, man, you got to stop practicing with the squad. We got to know what we have in you, and that's probably why I forgot his name. I haven't seen him do anything since he's been here. So, yeah, Curtis Samuel is definitely a concern for me. But out of everybody else that's on the list, who do you think are the last two wide receivers to make the team?
I'm going to go with that Carter kid. I think the Carter kid's going to do something. He's going to actually boot out maybe Steve Sims if he can't catch the ball. And then, you know what I'm saying, and stop fumbling everything. Right. I mean, I say Steve Sims and Carter will be the last two for me, and then it will be a battle. And then I don't know anybody else after that.
How about Adam Humphries?
I mean, Adam Humphries is going to be on the team.
I mean,
oh, yeah. Well, Dax Milne, is his speed going to correlate from college to the NFL? He runs good routes in college. Yeah, he got hands, but is he going to be one of those, you know, those Trey type of guys? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, play the inside. And so.
Rich says, will they keep six? He says he heard Al Galdi say they would keep eight.
Ooh. Are we running a spread offense or what?
Man.
Five wide every down or what?
Man. Hey, T-Ho, you are fine, man. Just keep chiming in. Hey, it's all good. It's all good.
Keep the questions coming, bro.
Yeah, keep the questions coming. Like, look, if we keep eight wide receivers, that means that multiple of these wide receivers will have to be special teams gurus.
They have to.
And that also means that we might have to keep less corners. If we keep eight wide receivers, that means we're keeping five corners because two of these guys are going to be gunners, right? So then you don't need that extra number five corner or number six corner playing, you know, those special teams.
Right.
They're going to rely on a guy like Cam Sims who still plays special teams. You're going to rely on a DeAndre Carter to be kickoff returner, punt returner. You're going to need these guys all over special teams. And with the versatility of our safety, you have a Bobby McCain who can play some corner. You have a Cam Curl who can play some corner, but you don't want those guys playing a lot of corner. But just depends on how things go, because you can say, I'm going to keep five corners. I'm going to keep five safeties. And keeping eight wide receivers, that means that you're going to be losing in other positions. Like, 50, I mean, a 52-man roster, if it's only 52, it's going to be crazy. Z, T-Ho says, I think Dax and Adam make the practice squad. I mean, anything is possible. I think either Adam or Dax, one of these guys will be on the team just because you need that other slot guy. Curtis Samuel is going to be more than just a slot guy, so you need that true slot guy, and I think that either Adam or Dax will be that other slot guy, which means a guy like AGG and Harmon, those are guys that are on the bubble, you know, promising.
You got to go out there and ball. I mean, there's just so many wide receivers on this team that, you know, it's just hard to say, damn, like Harmon, you're coming off your injury, boom. All right. AGG, what have you really shown us to do? I mean,
this is no way. It's impossible to keep eight. And for me to say seven, that's stretching it. That means that seventh guy has to be. Yeah, you know, so it's like you can get creative with your roster. There's ways to get creative. There are teams that keep seven wide receivers or more. You know, like the Patriots used to keep like six running backs and like seven wide receivers, you know. But they had the luxury of doing that because they can do so many different things. My guy, Big Oso, man. What's up, brother, man? Welcome to the stream, man. Appreciate you hopping on.
Big Oso. Cheers.
Somebody was talking about the O-line, okay? And with the offensive line, our boy Charles Leno, I think it's Charles Leno, or is it Cornelius Lucas? One of these guys have COVID, and they're on the COVID list right
Cornelius.
now. Cornelius Lucas. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's that was our potential starting right tackle. So now you're pushing Cosme into that position. And then today you're hearing about Chase Young bullying these guys and getting to the quarterback, and everybody's saying the O-line is bad, the O-line is bad. But hold on. Let's chill for a minute. Y'all are the same ones that said, hey, go ahead and put Samuel Cosme in right away, week one. I'm one of the people that's saying, just ease him on in. You don't have to put him out there week one. So when you're seeing the O-line struggle, first of all, besides talent, you need chemistry. Mm-hmm. Besides chemistry, you need experience. So let the best man win. Ease this guy on in. They're saying they're going to start this guy at the right tackle position. You can always move him down to to the left tackle position the following year. So a lot of different scenarios. How do you see – okay, who are your five starters this year on that offensive line? Let's start with that.
I like – we got Flowers. We have Sheriff. We have – Brulier, we have I like Wes Martin, man. I think he can do something.
Samuel, you like Wes Martin?
Yes, I like him for some reason.
I'm gonna buy you a Wes Martin jersey, man. Don't buy me a Wes Martin jersey.
Hey, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I don't like him that much, but I just like him for this scheme. Hopefully we can do something. I mean, he has to get better. I mean, just like everything. We got Lucas, but he got the COVID, and Cosme. I think Cosme can get right in because Texas. I mean, those guys build NFL players too. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to train them up, and hopefully he can do something. But God bless Mr. Lucas, man. I hope that he gets through that. I mean, it's tough, So.
Yeah, Big also asked, have we talked about any position battles today? Yeah, we've talked about quite a few position battles. You can always catch the replay on the YouTube or even on the podcast, the Back Row Redskins Show podcast. So either or, you can go and catch some of it. But speaking of competition, so the way that I see this offensive line shaking out, I'm expecting Cornelius Lucas to win that right tackle position. A lot of people are saying Cosme. That's fine. I am seeing Charles Leno at the left side. That's the only reason he came here. He came here to be a starter on that left side, okay? Yeah. Obviously, our center, Chase Roullier, beast. Right guard, the big-time money guy that doesn't finish a season, Mr. Injury, Brandon Sheriff. Brandon Sheriff, he's a pretty
good player. About 5 games a season.
Yeah, I'm not paying him $20 million a year. He wants $20 million a year. Nah. We're not doing that.
I'll give it to somebody else. I'll spread that $20 million around to somebody else.
Spread. And the last guy is Eric Flowers. I like Eric Flowers at that left guard position. Now, when we talk about depth behind this position, you have Wes Schweitzer. That's the Wes that I like. Wes Martin, I think Wes Martin is on the bubble because we have the guy by the name of Sadiq Charles. So I think that Sadiq Charles and Wes Schweitzer are going to be the two guys that take that guard position. Now, I don't see us keeping three guards off the bench, but if we do, then your boy Wes Martin makes it. But for right now, I think that Wes Martin is on the bubble. What you got?
Do you think Wes Martin's more of a backup center than a guard, though, because of his movement? He's kind of like a box almost, if you really think about it.
Wes Martin, man, he was a guy that, look, Ron Rivera was pissed off at. Like, what? Ron Rivera made an example out of Wes Martin. Wes Martin had the job. He had the job. Mm-hmm. He lost it.
He did.
Underperformed. Maybe he gets better a year later. But we have to remember, Keith Ishmael is also a center that plays guard. So when you think about all these different guys that we have, it just seems like Wes Martin is out of here. Think about it. Keith Ishmael and Wes Schweitzer and Eric Flowers, the starter, and Charles. I don't know, man. So when we're talking about backup center, that's Ishmael. Even if Wes Martin can play some center, they don't need him there. They don't need him at center because you already have a center guard in what's his name? Yeah, what's up?
But the thing about this, we're talking about backups on backups. So that's a good thing, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a great
finally,
thing. It's a great
finally,
thing.
It's, finally, for the Redskins that we're not talking about, okay, if the main guy go down, Now we don't know what the hell to do. You know, at least we got somebody we can plug and play, and they can try to do something.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Building awesome. A team here.
Welcome to the stream, brother. Big Oso said, Keith Ishmael is the backup center. Yeah, he's the backup center. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have. We haven't had talent like this in a long time. I remember coming into last year when we just had Jerron Christian as the right tackle. I mean, it was bad. Like, behind him, we had guys like Sharp and people that I can't even name. So, this year, we have so many guys that, you know, it's a true competition. It's a true competition, and you can be able to hide some of these guys. Like, Wes Martin is a practice squad candidate. That's where I see Wes Martin. If we cut him and he clears waivers, I'm sorry. Hey, for those of you guys that are catching the replay right now.
I feel you.
Hey, if you guys are watching on YouTube, please let me know your thoughts in the comment section if you're watching the replay. I just – look, because we're just so deep at every single position, we were so deep that we let go of Morgan Moses, a guy who wanted a lot of money, but then we had all these different young guys, and then they say, okay, you let a Morgan Moses go. Why bring in a Charles Leno? Money talks. It could have been several different things. It could have been attitude. It could have been – that he wasn't a Ron Rivera guy. So a lot of different things happen. But look, I love the O-line. We can go about the O-line more and more and more, but I love the O-line. Let's transition to the running back position. So a lot have been said that we're not deep enough at the running back position, or we don't have quality running backs after Antonio Gibson. You have Antonio Gibson, who I expect to be a bell cow this year, who I expect to catch and run the ball. Okay,
Christian McCaffrey type for sure.
Christian McCaffrey type guy. At the same time, he's coming off that toe injury and he's recovering. He's fully healthy from what I hear. My question is, I love Patterson. Is Patterson enough? Does he have enough talent and enough awareness and everything else to be the number two running back this season?
I say him and McKissick are going to probably split something, because I think that Patterson might be like a Sproles type of gadget type guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on his power running, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen it in the camp yet because it's this day one. But at the end of the day, I mean, he did very good in his other league. So at the end of the day, I think that they're going to be more pass heavy. I think too,
right.
They're going to spread these guys out, motion these guys in, and they're going to just drag him up, hitching and outs and everything like that. But if we can get him to run and get us maybe 2 or 3 yards to carry, I think that's cool, you know.
Right. I mean, I like Patterson. To me, he has the body of like a Maurice Jones-Drew type guy, a Ray Rice type guy, that body type. So they say he's small, but I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a factor for us this season. I don't see guys like Peyton Barber's on a bubble. He's on the bubble. But he is that short line, goal line guy that can get those tough yards. But at the same time, it's time for Gibson to step up, man. Step up. Get your strength up and get us those tough yards. We can't have guys like Peyton Barber on the roster just to do one thing, which is to get a 4th and 1. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, we need more out of that position. And I feel like – and then you have McKissick. Like, if McKissick is your 3rd down back, maybe in the future, Patterson can transition to being that 3rd down back. That way you can get that big power back.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because the backs are smallish, but at the same time, they have different skill sets. Why don't we just get some backs that can do multiple things? So that way we're not worried about, who's our 4th and 1 guy? Who's our 3rd down guy? Who's our RB2? And, you know, Wade's looking. We can possibly keep 4 running backs, but I want to transition to this next question. Rich had this question right here. It's an awesome, awesome question. He says he has one more question, but it's about the linebackers. So the linebackers, man, I've talked about this on a few of my streams, a few of my videos. The linebackers is kind of scary. It's kind of scary. When you look at who we have at the linebacking position, you have
Davis.
Man, I can't even think of his name. Cole Holcomb. Look, Cole Beasley has been in the news so much that I knew it wasn't Beasley. Yeah, it's Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb he can be that. I don't know where he's gonna play. He can play the Sam. He can play the, like, he might play the Will, just for the fact that he's been progressing in terms of defending.
I like him, dog. Hey, he's nice to me. I like him, bro.
I love him. If he improves, I like him better as a Sam linebacker. Mm-hmm, and then I like Jimmy Davis at middle. You know, he's that quarterback. He's the captain. He's the leader. So you got to play that middle. We drafted you high in the first round to be that middle linebacker. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I said, man, Davis is going to probably be that middle linebacker, bro. I mean, that's what it's going to really come down to. I think Cole, you know, is going to help transition him into that role, and because he used to help out with the play calling too, you know. So at the end of the day, I mean, but just like you say, man, I mean, we got to get the Sam, you know, at the end of the day. And I mean, we got the four down linemen, but that Sam is going to be super crucial, bro.
Right. And the cool thing about Arich's next question was he was curious about Shaka Toney. I was going to get into Shaka Toney. You can check my Twitter page, and I just tweeted about Shaka Toney. I think that Shaka Toney is going to be a signed linebacker for us this year. And if that happens, you can play Cole Holcomb a lot at the wheel, or you can play Holcomb in the middle and move Jamin Davis at times to the wheel, just depending on what's going on. Ron Rivera loves position flex, but I definitely see Shaka Toney as a linebacker for us this year. I think he'll play more so Sam linebacker. He says he thinks that Ron and Del Rio have him work out at linebacker during training camp. I think that's where he ends up. Even if he ends up as a DE on that depth chart, it's just a creative way of us disguising players. Yes, he might say DE, but that's just a way of us keeping another linebacker. So I think that he plays the Sam linebacker this year. Nick also said, what's sweet about the practice squad this year is that we can get a bargain as far as depth concerned. Yes, you can definitely get some veterans. Just like Dre said earlier, you can get some veterans and you can stick them into their practice squad. And I mean, players want to play, players want to be on roster. So look, if you got to ride that bench, you'll ride the bench, you'll ride that practice squad until you get your opportunity. Lamar Miller is also another guy that's a prime candidate for that spot. Let me see what T-Ho says. T-Ho says, we haven't had a scary trio of wide receivers since 2016. I believe that's the year that we had Jamison Crowder, DeSean Jackson, and Pierre Garçon. So, yes, I agree with that statement. He says Curtis Samuel, Dayami Brown, and Terry in 2021. I think that Dayami Brown is going to be eased in, but because of the injury to Curtis Samuel, we're pushing him out there. We're pushing him out there even quicker. We're pushing, we need you right now.
Yeah, and that's why he's going to be the third guy probably, because they're going to get him in there, get him reps, and I think they're going to play it safe with Mr. Samuels, and that's what they should do. I mean, I'm not trying to get this guy hurt in training camp, dude. Like, I'd rather him get hurt in the regular season.
Exactly.
Then we nutty, like, we paid all this money for him, so.
Yeah.
So let's just get him ready.
Hey, on my I did a video today, and I said a prayer for Curtis Samuel. So if y'all want to hear that little prayer, go ahead and watch a quick little video. But I think he's going to be fine. I'd rather him come back when he's fully healthy than, you know, you get hurt in training camp or preseason. I think they're going to bring him along, and even if he takes him a while to get healthy, you see every team have players that are on the PUP. Amari Cooper for the Dallas Cowboys, he's starting off on the PUP. You know, he has injuries. Dak Prescott, he left the field today for a shoulder strain, and he's going to be eased in. So teams are not going to fool around and let their players get hurt in preseason. The most important preseason game is going to be that last game or second to last. It's been cut down to three games, right? So that very last game is that dress rehearsal where you're going to see the starters go at least two quarters.
Maybe two quarters.
Yeah, probably two quarters. But the beauty of our preseason this year is that it's worth watching. You know, sometimes we get bored in the fourth quarter. We start seeing all these names we never heard of, all these names that are not going to make the team. But this year, in that fourth quarter, you're going to see some Steve Sims and AGG's, Harmon, guys that we want to see. Yo, can you make a team? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be amazing. I think the wide receiver position is going to be spicy. The O-line position in certain, like the guard and some of the backup tackles, that's going to be a hot hot topic, hot position to watch. Linebacker, obviously, we have some few stragglers, a few guys that we picked up. We picked up a big defensive end or defensive tackle recently. I mean, we're bringing in all these different guys to compete. We're cutting guys. Something like that. So we brought him in. We made a few more signings today. Brought in a guy from VTech. I believe he's either a D end or a D tackle. I mean, we're just bringing in people left and right. And it's all about competition. That's what you want to see. Hey, tight end. What do we do there? You got some guys like Ricky Seals and Simmons Reyes. That's a battle right there of his own. Like, wow. Simmons Reyes is trying to make a name for himself. He's trying to get on that main 53. I think he's a practice squad candidate. So preseason is going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm watching every single minute, not just because I miss football and the Washington football team are my favorite team, but preseason is going to be bananas. And I'm glad that the training camp is back. The fans are back in the stands. What is your thoughts on the fans being back in the stands this year?
I mean, that's just going to give them a boost. I mean, from last year, I mean, we played a really good game. I mean, we gave the Bucks all we had, and they only beat us by 7, bro. I mean, right. At the end of the day, and we had Tyler Heinicke out there, dude. So, at the end of the day, I think that we got a little bit better, you know, and the fans are going crazy, whether it's bad or it's good. They always got something to say.
So. Right.
And I saw on Twitter today, though, I saw a Dallas Cowboy dude. He was just like strolling the thing. It's like, dude, Cowboys, get the hell out of here, dude. Like, y'all whack, bro. Like, right. Relax. Why y'all got to come to our camp? Like, it's not like we go to y'all camp and try to cause anything. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. Yeah, I heard about that, too, man. Like, that kid, I think, I don't know if it was a kid or it was somebody, but he was getting booed, like, why are you here? He's trolling. Yeah. He has nowhere to go. Yeah. He has no entertainment. Definitely. So he came for cheap entertainment and, you know, got a ticket, came to scout. But, hey, it just is what it is. Yes, Simmons Reyes did have a crazy nice catch today. And that was amazing. I did a training camp update video today that kind of highlighted some stuff. I was able to share some videos and share some of the takeaways from today. Overall, it was a good day. My recap for training camp was the rookies played well. Derek Forrest did some pretty good things. I saw guys like Dayami Brown. He did some pretty good things. Jamin Davis had high praise from Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera said, hey, Jamin Davis is going to be something. Like, he loves the preparation that Jamin Davis has this season. And then he also gave some high praise to Jarrett Patterson. So Jarrett Patterson and Jamin Davis got the highest praise from rookies from Ron Rivera today. And that's very, very encouraging. So I love that. And then the other thing was the connection between Terry McLaurin and Fitz, and then Fitz and his main guy, Humphreys. So overall, good day of camp. I can't wait to see what tomorrow holds. Hopefully something else happens. Hopefully they extend somebody else like Terry. You know, I'm just so excited with these contracts. Right. We're getting these guys at bargains. You know, they're not like at the top. They're not at the bottom. They're getting fair deals for their performance.
A little bit more than fair deals, actually. But
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like
18.5 for John Allen is pretty good. I
mean, yeah, it's pretty good, but I'm just glad it's not 25 or 20, 21. I think Jonathan Allen gave us a discount. Do you know that his cap number this year is 10 million?
Yes, I did.
That's all we pay him. So it's like when you look at it, man, it's just a steal. He led the team in hurries. Jonathan Allen does so much. It's just that he's not as flashy as some of the other guys. I like Payne over Allen. So a lot of interesting things are going to happen in this camp. I'm enjoying it. Talk to me.
Who's more athletic, Payne or Allen?
Payne. It's not even close. Bro, there was a race.
Are you doing it for the – no, athletic, not fast, you know, not on races, but – for Payne's weight, yeah, he's super smooth. Like, he can get in and out of everything. Allen is just – I just think he's like a savvy vet at that age. You know what I'm saying? Right. And Payne is – he's learning behind this line right now. You know,
I feel you. I just feel like Payne has the –
Could Payne be the better player? Yes, for sure. I just think that Ron knew John Allen is like a savvy vet, bro.
John is a leader.
He's a leader. He's like an old man to me, you know, personally. He put on his hard head and he's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, John, to me, John is a leader. Payne has the most upside on that defensive line. Like, there was a race. When you beat Chase Young in a foot race and you're that big, that says a lot. They had some drill, and Payne just smoked everybody. I know it's more than just foot racing. I know it's more than just this and that. Payne just brings so much. I got to give a big shout out to my guy, Tim Talks Sport. He always has the stats, the numbers. This guy is a human computer. I'm telling you guys. You guys go follow Tim. So Tim says that $10 million cap number is from his rookie deal. Then he goes on to say that his new contract will not hit until 2022. Appreciate that, Tim. That's some knowledge right there. Tim, a.k.a. the human computer. This guy knows his stuff. So appreciate that insight. Big Oso said Payne. T-Ho said Payne. I mean, it seems like Payne all around. He says Allen is more of a technician. Yes, he's very, very polished. He uses this.
Savvy vet.
He uses this. Yes, Payne uses this right here. You know what I'm saying? Payne uses power, technique, and all that. But I just love the upside of Payne.
We don't even talking about Matt Ioannidis, and that dude's about to come back and go crazy too.
I think Big Matt is possibly the most talented interior pass rusher. You know what I'm saying? Jonathan Allen is he's like the technician. And then Payne is just that raw talent that's still being cultivated to be something nasty, something special. Hopefully we find a way to, you know, extend him, give us a hometown discount or something. I am a big Payne fan. I just hope that we find a way to keep them together just for a little bit longer.
I want
to
keep all five of those cats, dude. I want to keep all of those cats, bro, if we can.
We got to try, man. Tim says, appreciate the praise. He says, Payne is a monster, but I love Allen. Yes, I love Allen. Allen is that leader. Allen is the guy that talks the talk, but he walks the walk. He leads with example. And when he talks, people listen. You know, you got a guy like Chase Young, but Jonathan Allen he's the leader. He's the leader of that defense. Yes, Chase is special. But I think Jonathan Allen's voice carries a lot of weight in that locker room. And that's why he got his deal, because he's more than just a player. He's just that other guy. And like you say, Jonathan Allen is like an old soul. You think that he's old just because of his demeanor. Like, he's been the same way since he came here. He's been about winning. And we've been losing. But now we're starting to win. We're starting to turn things around. And I'm glad that he's here, because of all those times when we were trash and, you know, just a lot of stuff happening, he was that steadying force that says, you know what, I'm all about winning. He didn't care about stats. He didn't care about accolades. He's that kind of guy. Like, I just want to win. Yes, sir. So T-Ho says, when will Matt return to training camp? I don't see him on day one of training camp. I really didn't hear much about him today, but I'm pretty sure he's out there. Because he's been out there for, you know, all these mini camps and all these OTAs. I've seen him, you know, participate for those things. So maybe he wasn't there today, but I didn't see him on the list of guys that didn't participate. Tim Sports Talk says, Allen is the highest character dude to walk into the locker room in decades. I agree. Allen is solid. He is a leader's leader. The guy is special. He's special, and I'm glad that he's able to be back with the team. We're starting to do things the right way. We're starting to, you know, jump that curve of signing our guys before it's time to sign them. Because when you let them hit free agency, that's when it gets ugly.
Super ugly.
Look, I'm going to tell you this right now. And you guys, write this down, tweet me, whatever you got to say. You have to extend Terry McLaurin after this season. If you do not extend him after this season, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a scenario where he's going into year four, and guess what? The price of admission just went up. If you sign him now, really, if you sign him now, you save a lot of money. You sign him next year, you're going to pay. You sign him after year four, you're talking about $30 million a year. That's 30. Nothing. He's gonna want to get paid. And the way that this market is shifting, after Devontae Adams gets paid, then you're gonna see more and more wide receivers in that $20 to $25 million range a year. So sign him now when you can get him for $20 million a year, or you can wait for 2 years and pay him $30 million a year. That's how I feel about the situation. How do you feel about the situation?
I mean, I agree. I mean, you gotta sign him definitely for next year, especially if he goes and balls out this year like I expect him to. Just go ahead and give him the quick bag, and then we're going to figure out how to sign those D linemen after that, because
absolutely
you have to have a staple at the wideout. And I mean, Terry McLaurin is a hard hat guy. You know, he don't give you no trouble, no back talk. He just want to go out there and ball. So we're finally finding some high character cats. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good signing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. T-Ho is asking about Terry McLaurin's contract. He signed a 4-year contract, the rookie deal. He's in year three. This is year three of his rookie deal. This is the most crucial part of his career. That means if he balls out this year, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid either way it goes. But my whole thing is, I want to get it done after year three rather than getting it done after year four. It can get really ugly. It can get really ugly, and then that's why you see guys
mid-season. Would that count towards this year's cap or next year's cap, or would it be split?
I really don't even know how that goes. I would figure that if you're going to extend somebody, you want to do it before the season starts. Can somebody in the chat let us know? Because I'm learning myself.
Yeah, I've never seen somebody get signed midway through. But I was just thinking, like, say if he goes crazy and say, "Oh, now he's on his high horse, and we could throw him something,"
right,
and he signs, could we sign him, you know, week 7, week 8?
Right.
And work? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I hear what you're saying. I would figure that the NFL probably has guidelines and stipulations to where, you know, you want to go ahead and get deals done before the season and things of that nature. So I'm pretty sure that there's a deadline to where you can make moves. And once the season has started, man, you can trade the people by the trade deadline. So I'm pretty sure there's a deadline.
True.
NFL does work with deadlines, but I just don't know when the deadline is. I'm just like,
Just worried about just any injury. Let's just say he signed something in the beginning of the year and he got injured and then he can't play.
Right.
Versus if he signs him week 7, week 8, midway through, is there like a penalty, or is there like something that can go on both caps where we can split that? So we can sign more people type deal, because I haven't seen many teams do that, but that's always been a really good inclination about that. So
but Tim said, when you get an extension, obviously you finish out your, you know, like your rookie deal, and then that money starts when that extension starts. But you can put all the money together and then get your little, you know, average, you know, per year with old money, new money. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there's a time when that new money kicks in. You know, you get your signing bonus and your guarantees and all that good stuff, but there's a time that that money kicks in. Comment right here. He says, Rich says, Terry is the type of dude that after he gets paid, he won't check out. He gives you 100% on and off the field. And that's why I like Terry. I said today in one of my streams or videos that Terry is a leader. He doesn't talk a lot, but when he talks, guess what? People listen. People shut up and listen because they know the kind of guy that Terry is. T-Ho says he hoped that we extend his contract next offseason. My guy, Maurice Davis, man, welcome to the stream, man. Appreciate you guys. Anybody who's watching, if you're new, please like, please subscribe, and please share. So Maurice says, Terry definitely is a number one wide receiver. Got to sign him next year, no doubt. So everybody is all in agreement. Jason Wright, Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rey. I hope somebody's watching this thing to get this thing to the front office so that way we can go ahead and get our guy paid. Big Oso said overthecap.com. I'm going to check that out, man. Appreciate you. All right, man. Here goes my guy, Tim. Every time I see Tim pop up in the chat, I get excited because he's about to drop some knowledge on us. He says a contract extension is added to the end of the contract, so the new money doesn't hit until the last contract is over. Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. I love it. So the new money doesn't kick in until the old contract is over. So, okay, I love that. I love that. So, hey, we are a learning bunch. I love to learn. I love to better my skills. But, man, this has been a great, great show. But before we wrap this thing up, I want to talk safety. And pretty much as we wrap this thing up, who do you think on that safety group steps up this year? Who do you think is a surprise safety that steps up for us this season?
Man, my hope is for Landon to go down to the box, man. You know, I mean, TJ Ward is probably a bad name to use, but, you know, Jack Del Rio used him like a freaking joker, bro, and he was going crazy out there for Denver. But Cameron Curl is going to ball, bro. I think he's going to do something crazy, and he's going to be able to get a lot of tackles, man. I mean, sitting behind Davis, he's going to be able to just see a lot more. I just think there are, I mean, we just have so many players in every position that they have the opportunity to ball. I mean, this is what you grow up as a kid. You want the, like, you want these opportunities. And I think Ron gives these guys competition, opportunity. If you can ball, you're on the team. If you can't, you're out, you know. I think the Bobby McCain guy is going to do good too, though. I mean, we just have, like, we have so many interchangeable pieces that we can just do a lot of things. So hopefully these guys on the defensive end can get the right schemes and the right keys. And at the end of the day, I mean, we can get some W's, you know.
All right, Tim, appreciate you tuning in to the show, man. Appreciate you, man. Most definitely. So, yeah, man, my take on the safeties, I would love to see Landon Collins come in and ball out. Because if Landon Collins comes in and balls out, guess what? We have another problem, meaning that everybody knows we're going to get rid of Landon Collins next year because of cap situations, but you just never know. Maybe now he becomes a tradable asset if he balls out midway through the season, trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Maybe you trade this guy for a third-round pick. So, I mean, it's just a good problem to have. But another thing about the safety position. Now, let's say that Benjamin St. Juice comes in and plays well at the outside corner, and he's starting opposite of William Jackson III, and you move Kendall Fuller into that slot position. Just imagine a position, a switch, where, you know, a guy like Cameron Curl goes, or Bobby McCain goes into that slot position, and then, you know, Kendall Fuller goes to that free safety. So it's kind of like it's confusion, position flex. You're not gonna know how to defend these guys.
QB spy type stuff. Like, it's gonna be crazy. Like, if they could get coached up, bro, because they got the talent.
And then check this out. And check this out. And then another kind of switch where Landon Collins goes into the slot, but guess what? He's not covering anybody. Now Landon Collins is that guy that's gonna blitz the quarterback. So there's so many different things you can do. You can put Cameron Curl in that slot position to blitz. You're going to have even a guy like Khalik Hudson. We talk about linebackers. Mm-hmm. Khalik Hudson is a guy that I'm expecting. He is going to do some good things this year. He's going to take that jump, and I would love to see him play a lot of will position. And he can play some safety. So we got so many linebackers slash safeties. Look, the linebackers and safeties, that third linebacker is going to be a linebacker that has some safety type swag. I just say safety type swag. You're going to see safety blitz. You're going to see a lot of blitz this season from different positions, corners, safeties, to help that defensive line to create as much pressure on quarterbacks as possible. There should be no reason why our front four can't get to the quarterback. But when you add these extra guys as that extra pass rusher, it just makes things beautiful. It just takes things to a whole nother level. Let me see. T-Ho says, how are we on safety, man? Look, we got Bobby McCain, Cam Curl, Reeves, and who's the other guy? Man, I'm going blank. But yeah, I mean, the safety position, I think we keep four, possibly keep five, if that fifth guy is helping out on special teams. But we're just so deep at that
point. Which would probably be Apke, right? Apke will probably play on the special teams, right?
Yeah,
or Apke, you think he's going to go on practice squad.
He can go practice squad. I don't think Apke makes a team, but guess what? He's so good on special teams. You got to do more than special teams. They're going to play him at some corner. They're going to play him at some corner this year. So to see what happens. Maurice says, I want to see Landon Collins and Cameron Curl experiment. I hope it can work together. Hey, these two guys started the game or the practice today as safety in free safety. So Landon Collins played the strong safety today, and Cameron Curl played the free safety. And look, we have to remember, Cameron Curl is a ball hawk. Ron Rivera says that Cameron Curl is a ball hawk. And we saw Cameron Curl make some plays in that passing, in that pass defense game last year. The dude had three interceptions. He could have had two more. He could have had two more. So it's not like he can't. Yeah. So it's not like he can't cover. He can cover to a certain extent if you use Cameron Curl the right way. They both can possibly be the starting safeties this year. But my money says that Bobby McCain is that guy. And let's just say, for some odd reason, now this is a wild card. Let's say that Cameron Curl and Landon Collins are our starting safeties. What if Bobby McCain is starting at the slot position? So I'm just saying it. Hey, position flex. Bobby McCain did start out as a corner. Now he's a really good free safety. So a lot can happen, man. I'm excited for the season. I'm going to try to get through these comments real quick as we close. Collins could play that Troy Polamalu role. I would love that. I would love for Collins to be Roman. I would love it, especially with the help of Jamin Davis helping out with that middle of the field. I can see where, Landon Collins can really thrive. He can really, really thrive. Derek Forrest could end up being good. He possibly can. Yeah, Chef Dre, I think you have – I can't hear you, but let me wrap these comments up real quick. When is the 2021 NFL season – okay, you're excited for the season. Great, 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 great. Good stuff. Apke is a great special teams guy. Yes, he is. He really is. He's really good at special teams. You can say that Apke is not good at football, but one thing you can say is Apke is good at special teams. So is William Bradley King going to make the team? There's a possibility he makes a team, but it's not guaranteed. He can possibly be a practice squad type guy. But at the end of the day, he has a great chance of making a team just because the team lacks depth at that deep end position outside of Chase Young.
There's another guy from Baylor, right?
Yes.
Is that the guy from Baylor?
That's the guy from Baylor, and he's more so a DE size. Shaka Tony is more so linebacker size. He's like a tweener. He reminds me of a Ryan Anderson. You know, he's like more probably suited for a 3-4 than he is 4-3. But I do like both of our seventh round guys. So, guys, man, if you guys are watching, if this is your first time checking me out, this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Please subscribe, please like, please share, and definitely turn on that notification bell so that way you get content as I drop it, man. Shout out to my guest, Chef Dre. Not only is he cooking it up in the kitchen, he knows his Washington football team. He always has a great wealth of knowledge. It's definitely a guy that I love bringing on the show, man. So tell the people where they can find you, Chef Dre.
You can find me on IG at appointed, APPOINTED underscore time, like the spice, THYME underscore catering. And then on Twitter, you can find me at chef 2 underscores Dre Boog. That's OOOG. And I'll be there if you need me. If you need some recipes, if you need to just talk, you need to vent, I'm here.
Absolutely, man. Dre's a great guy, man. Hey, Maurice Davis, man, appreciate you hopping on this stream, man. Every Wednesday, 9:30 Central Time, you will get an episode of the Back Row Redskins Show live. So I just stream it to my YouTube channel. For those that are watching, and let's say that you're watching but you got to drive, you can definitely go to Apple, Spotify, all these different platforms and catch the Back Row Redskins Show. This episode will be there. Appreciate Big Oso for chiming in, R Rich, Tim Sports, T-Ho, everybody who came to stream. Man, I appreciate you guys, man. We will catch you guys on the next episode. We out. Peace.
Yes, sir. Blessings, guys. I'll holler at y'all.
Awesome.